You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. Hello, everybody. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, here with Corey Brock, who has been covering the Padres for a very, very, very long time this spring, as we enter about the final 2 weeks of spring training before the regular season starts. So, Corey, the last time we talked, Tim Fedorovich, the catcher, he was probably going under the knife, and he had the surgery scheduled. Well, now we know that he did have the surgery. So it was a complete tear of the lateral meniscus in his right knee. And so he's out 3 to 6 months, but it's usually more toward the six than it is the three, just kind of historically in cases like this. So that's kind of like losing it for the whole season, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're going to proceed like as if he's not really going to be in their plans for this season, and sort of plan accordingly from there, whether that means going outside the organization. I know they're kind of keeping an eye out for other options. Maybe they could trade for a backup to give Derek Morris a breather on occasion, or handle it internally. But that's certainly a little disconcerting for the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, that is not an easy position to just replenish. It's not like there is a backlog of really good, solid, major league caliber catchers. I mean, they say that the fastest way to the big league is to be a catcher, because it's the position that nobody really wants to play necessarily, and it's very tough on the body. What are kind of some of the backup plans that they have, or the options that they have?
Well, the easiest option would be a Will Nieves internal option, who signed a minor league deal with the team really late. Will is 37. He was actually an original Padre from way back, made his debut with the team, at Qualcomm Stadium, got his first big league hit off Randy Johnson. Has a great story to tell about it. Played with Randy Johnson later in New York and got the ball signed. So a really good guy. He's bounced around, kind of like, he fits the profile, Allison, kind of like what you're talking about. A lot of these other guys who have kind of been in the big leagues a long time, and, if you could prove you work good with a pitching staff, that you're pretty good defensively, it doesn't necessarily matter how much you're going to hit. That's not why they keep these guys around. They need them to give these frontline catchers a break now and then. You know who I was thinking of, Allison, the other day? He was wandering around camp, and he's a manager in the Padres minor league system. It's Jamie Quirk, who played with Buddy Black in Kansas City. And just for the heck of it, I checked out Jamie Quirk's baseball reference page, and he played 18 years in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he had more than 150, maybe 200 at-bats tops in any 1 year. So it just goes to show that, if your skill set is such where you – you're a good teammate, you're a good defensive catcher, you're good at pitch calling, you're going to have a job for a while, and that's sort of, I think, why Will Nieves has been around. Now, they could certainly trade. They can go outside and they could trade. Wellington Castro, the Cubs, supposedly is available. But then you get into a situation of, what are the Cubs going to ask for here? Are they in the position to kind of hold teams ransom a little bit? And how much do you really want to overspend on a backup catcher?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I'm glad you brought up Jamie Quirk, because it's just hilarious. I don't think anybody realizes how long he played. And also, it's hard to say. I mean, he played a lot of different positions, not just catcher. But it's hard to play 18 years at any position. But certainly, if you've been a catcher for any amount of time, that wears on your body. And he certainly, he stuck around for a very – I mean, he was a pretty solid player in the 70s, and I don't think he was done until, like, 92.
I think, yeah, if you look at his page, and I would encourage fans to look up his baseball reference page, and I wish I could remember this, but, he appeared in the postseason twice, and I'm not sure where it was. It was at the start and it was at the end of his career, but he had something like 16 or 21 years between postseason appearances. But, what a great service time career. I mean, that's, 18 years. How many guys get to play in the big leagues that long?
That's so funny. I'm looking at his page right now, and he never played – he played in more than 100 games one time, from 75 to 92. Wow.
Look at his postseason. Bear with us, fans. Look at his postseason at-bats. Can you tell me
what years he played in the postseason there?
So he played with the Royals in 76. He was 21 years old. He had 9 plate appearances, 8 at bats. In 85, he was on the Royals team. That, let's see, so that was the ALCS, and that was, he had 1 plate appearance. In 1990, he was with the A's, so the ALCS, he had 1 plate appearance. And then in the World Series, he had 3 at bats. And then in 92, he played with Oakland in the ALCS, and he had 1 at bat.
Wow, so he went like 16 years. Yeah, his postseason appearances spanned 16 years.
Oh, that's fantastic. And he's just a great guy, too. One of my favorites.
There you go. Baseball History 101 today. Thank you for joining us.
Fun. It's so much fun to look, like, just to look anybody up, and you can find anything out. And
it's like a wormhole. You can just kind of get lost looking at this stuff.
I know, totally. So back to the Padres a little bit. Now, since we have talked, I just want to make sure I scour your coverage every day, but I want to make sure that they have not named an opening day starter yet, correct?
No opening day starter yet. If you do the math and you can kind of line things up a little bit and see that it may be James Shields that may line up in that direction for that first game against the Dodgers. I don't think that would be a surprise to anybody, even though, they a couple very good in-house candidates, and Andrew Cashner and Tyson Ross, first-year All-Star last year. But, I don't know. I mean, I think the opening day starter thing is neat in that it's an honor, and I know Bud Black kind of treats it that way. It's kind of a feather in the cap. And but I think, and James Shields, this is a guy that's done it before. And one of the things that Buddy's always talked about is, with the opening day starter thing. And you only do this once, so I'm not sure how much it really, truly means in the grand scheme of lining up your rotation for the month. All that sort of seems to get lost when you have off days and rain outs or whatever. But, having a guy that is able to kind of handle the pomp and circumstance of the day, you know what I mean? The anthem singer, this is going to be at Dodger Stadium, so certainly it's going to be a big show there, a lot of celebrities and all that. So you want a guy that can sort of handle that and has handled that before. So I think James Shields is probably going to be the guy that's going to get the nod. And I would suspect they name him the opening day starter here in the next week or so.
And that wouldn't be like a slight to any of the guys who have been on the staff and who have been Padres for a while. I would assume that they all kind of understand how this whole thing works.
Yeah, exactly. And understanding there was a hefty financial component tied into James's deal, largest contract in Padre history, and probably a certain amount of expectation on their part that was going to be the case. And, Buddy's such a good communicator that, I'm sure he'd sit these other guys down and talk to him and say, hey, here's what we're thinking. Here's how we're lining things up. Someone has to start this game. We just feel like maybe he's the best guy to do it. After that first day, it kind of goes on the back burner anyway. You end up pitching every 5 days and everybody sort of forgets about it.
Right. So let's talk about some good performances so far. I had to laugh, not that I'm laughing at the Giants, but I was talking to Chris Hassett about the Giants haven't really been winning very many games and it doesn't matter, but does it matter? And then Bruce Bochy kind of blasted the team completely for how completely unprepared they are for the regular season at this point. So he's an unhappy guy. But in Padres camp, there's actually some good performances and winning a few games here and there. It's been a nice spring for them. James Shields, of course, is one guy who is having a good spring. So what are some of the individual performances that have stood out to you?
It's interesting. I think they've had like 3 shutouts, so the pitching's been good. It's funny you touched upon that, Allison. I was thinking the same thing about Bochy and you go through spring training and you caution yourself and you caution fans, don't read too much in the results. Don't read too much in the results. Yet when the manager comes out and calls out his team, it's a different deal. You know what I mean?
It's
maybe kind of a red flag, like, hey, it's time to, get your you-know-what in gear here. Opening day's in 2 weeks. But, the Padres, rightfully so, I think a lot of people have had their eyes on the newcomers. Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, Will Middlebrooks, Will Myers, these guys are playing an awful lot. And I remember, we talked about that early on, Allison, with Buddy Black in the first week of camp said, hey, the veterans are going to play a lot. This is you're not going to see number 83 and number 76 roaming out there in the fourth or fifth innings, some minor league kid they pull over for the day. They're going to get these guys some at-bats. They're going to play deep in the games. So I think part of this is by design that they want to come out of the gates fast. They want to start out fast in April. It's always been such a tough month for them for whatever reason, underperformance, playing all these games against NL West teams, Bumgarner, Kershaw. So you're seeing Will Myers play a lot. He's done awfully well. He's been hitting at the top of the order. Will Middlebrooks looks like a keeper at third base. Jan-Hervis Solarte, kind of the incumbent there at third base, doesn't look like he wants to give up that spot. They'll both make the team. They're just going to have to maybe get a little creative and who plays where and when. Certainly Solarte has a little bit more flexibility, but Kemp's been very good. Upton's been good on the pitching side. Brandon Morrow, you know, the guy they signed before their big December spending spree and trading spree, you know, to kind of be a guy on the back end of the rotation, looking at him as number four. Then, of course, when he signs Shields, it bumps everybody back. But Morrow's been very good. And I remember pitching coach Darren Balsley telling me in late December that, you know, he was really excited to work with Morrow. And I think his stuff is looking very, very good. I think he's going to be the number five starter. So a lot of individual highlights. And it's not so much, you know, the statistics. It's just sort of how a guy looks, how the ball sounds coming off his bat, you know, the secondary pitches of some of the relievers. You can really tell that these guys are rounding toward opening day at this point. And, you know, we're at a point now where we're, you know, less than 2 weeks or, you know, getting closer to opening day here. So I think this is all kind of laying out the way they want to. Now they got to go out and play all these regular season games, certainly. But I think all their plans, how they sort of tailored spring training for these veterans, getting them innings, getting them at-bats, it's kind of gone according to plan.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a much different Padres team in April compared to some other Aprils in the past, mainly because they just weren't very good in the past, and now they have a pretty good team. So we'll keep our eye on that. So, Corey, thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night, on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.